I'm on Green Show, brought to you by Badger City Auto on the Wisconsin Sports Zone Radio Network.
Good morning, Wisconsinites. We got NFC Championship game on the left coast in Santa Clara, California, Levi's Stadium. The Packers have to face their one of their losses, repeat loss. I won't say repeat losses, but losses later, earlier this season. It was a big game out there. You know, I say powers of the NFC had met up back a few months ago, and we saw San Francisco, how powerful at that time they were, offensively running the ball, very good defensively, matching up and shutting down Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Jones, making them really feel where they could not, you know, move the ball much. You know, so it was just interesting seeing that. So that's where we are now. So we go through all the rest of the season. The last loss the Packers has was to this team. Not much different in the 49ers team other than maybe Mozart is getting the ball a little bit more. He became their leading rusher before the end of the season. So, but the defense just continued to play strong for them as the Packers defense is playing strong for the rest of this season. So it is it's gonna be a heck of a game, I believe. And we see last week with Russell coming in town, doing his thing. I mean, being Russell the magician, in and out. You know, we saw the guys go down. We saw Seahawks go down with 23-3 early in the game, and they roaring back in this game. You know, he tried to pull it off. And him, I say, a little bit of help from Beast Mode. He got in the end zone again. I mean, to have the stats he had, I think he had like 3 touchdowns in like 2 games.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, Amon, did you know, because you're in the know, I'm not. You played. You understand the inner circle. Did you know that he was referring to money when he said you got to get your chicken after the game? And that bizarre minute and a half where he said 10 times.
I wasn't sure.
Young man
got to
look after
about
their chicken. I said, what is he talking about? Is there like a sale going on at Popeyes right now that I don't know about? It turns out chicken is money.
Hey, it's Marshall. It's Beast Mode. You don't know what is coming out his mouth.
Chicken.
You hope for the best, and you try to understand it. I say the best thing is try to decipher what Marshawn, his language. He has his own language. He has his own linguistic and probably a linguist with him because of the things that he puts out. But it's fun. I say for him, it's fun. You know, he So go back, you know, back to Russell. Russell, again, dramatic fashion, still having the team in the game. And as a quarterback in the NFL and a quarterback the level of quarterback, the tier of quarterback he is, to have his team in the position they were in, he did his job. And the tough thing was for the Seahawks is that Aaron Rodgers got going, playing well the whole game. Wasn't no, delayed start right away. Eric Jones, effective, only about 65 yards rushing, but cut touchdown.
Found that end zone.
Found that end zone, and that's what you want to do. You want to, if anything, in the playoffs, if you can't get big yardage, get in the end zone, or defense show up, make turnovers. And they did. They had 5 sacks. Oh, Jimmy G. Russell Wilson. I'm already thinking ahead.
I like it.
Well, it's a big game coming up.
A big game. So DK Metcalf didn't say much. Or didn't do much either. You know, it was a quiet game from his end. Defense showed up from Preston, Sedarius, even Alexander got in and got a big sack, huge sack on that 2-point conversion. Because that 2-point conversion, you get that, then it's a whole different looking game. And then offensively for the Seahawks, they like, okay, there's a chance that we could get in this game and come out of Lambeau with a win. But that didn't happen. Pettin, great call. Zaire executing, following through, getting a sack, and just the game wasn't as obviously up in the air as the game they had before, because Packers did their job on defense and Packers did their job on offense, scoring points and scoring enough points to win this game.
Now, Amon, I mean, in that game, it was kind of a roller coaster ride. The Packers started out hot, but then in that third quarter, it was ending in the fourth. It started feeling like momentum. Is momentum a real thing? Because the Packers looked like they lost it and the Seahawks got it in a big way. And they kind of had to hang on. As a player, can you feel that momentum's swift and change on the sidelines?
Yeah, that was something I felt, you know, just watching that game. Yeah, there is something with momentum. If you lose it, it's hard to get it back. And way the Seahawks got it by just executing and Russell Wilson doing his thing up and down the field and making plays, getting out the pocket, that kept his team in the game. And it was, you know, it was like getting interesting towards the end. It was like, okay, if they don't hold him or convert when they have the ball, it's going to be trouble. And they finally did with, you know, Aaron with two big passes, one to Davante Adams for a first down, and later on that was a questionable, you know, got reviewed several times. The pass to Jimmy Graham where he kind of flopped to the ground early, or it wasn't just to get tackled, but didn't know if he passed the first down marker. You know, that was question in hand. We played it 20 times. But to make sure they got it, and then at that point, you can run the clock out. The best formation in the NFL.
Yeah, how good is it feeling when you do the victory formation?
Oh, man, it feels good. Game over.
What are dudes saying on the other side of the ball when you're doing victory formation and yelling? Are they saying anything?
From the other side?
Yeah.
The defense, some guys are just, you know, they maybe be a little sore losers.
Yeah.
If not, you know, they're not saying much. They're not saying much. You know, it's just like now it's game over. There's a lot of good handshakes, good games going on. Usually, if it's not, if it's a rivalry game, it might get a little spicy in them, you know, extracurricular stuff going on.
Well, we had a spicy show last week. That's a good term of mine.
So, but no, it's just, you know, it's a game over. I mean, I've been on the other side of it where you just stand on the sidelines just waiting because usually their offense is doing it. So I've been on the sideline just waiting, like, come on, hurry up, clock. Let me get to the locker room. We know this game is over right now.
He's the Packers' all-time leading rusher. It's the Amon Green Show, 608-321-1670 or Zone Madison on Twitter, Facebook, if you have a question. So we played out these two scenarios last week, Amon, on your show.
Yep.
You know, 2 minutes left, the Packers are down two, Aaron Rodgers has the ball, or 2 minutes left, the Packers are up two, and they got to hold off Russell Wilson. And we kind of got both of them, right? Because first it was the Packers got the stop with 3 minutes to go, and a lot of people were crushing Pete Carroll for punting, but he's thinking we have three timeouts.
Yep.
We do to the Packers what they just did to us, stop them, we'll get the ball back. Aaron Rodgers completes two incredible third down passes on that drive to ice it. As you're watching the final 3 minutes, what was more impressive to you, the Packers getting the stop with 3 minutes left to force the punt, or the two third and 11s that they completed to ultimately ice the game?
I would say the two third and 11s. Easy. Davante Adams running routes. I mean, amazing routes the whole game. The score points from last week to this week. And then Jimmy Graham, he's actually in the last three, four games shown up. He's been, you know, dealing with injuries. And then from injuries comes frustration. You know, him not being open a whole lot is something that for the old veteran, he knows that it could be taxing mentally. And so was able to get in there, stumbled a little bit, didn't know if he got it or not. That's why I said 10,000 replays to finally get it right.
Even so, they had additional footage coming in.
Yeah. I don't know what that is. That's
I thought
that was
Vegas.
Yeah,
kind of checking
know,
in.
Whoever the commentators are, that's just stuff they just throw in there to get the fans, to get us thinking like, what? Because they're not connected to the referees' mics at all, or the game, or the stadium conductor, anything like that. So just, you know, him finally making a big play to get that, because he's been a guy that I think that everybody's high on coming in, being Aaron Rodgers and Jimmy Graham, and what we saw with what he did in New Orleans with Drew Brees. So that was, and he's first year was kind of there, second year and last couple years kind of been down, but that play right there, and you kind of forget about all what has not been done by Jimmy Graham with that big play to convert. And that's huge, because getting a first down in the NFL in regular season, preseason is not easy task, but in playoffs it's almost impossible because defenses are playing man-to-man. They have the athletes to play man-to-man. And a lot of times, from the Patriots to Ravens defense, which we'll talk about here, you know, that was the team that beat – one of the teams that beat the 49ers. And they had a strong defense, and a lot of it was man-to-man. So that's what potentially they're going to see next week, this coming Sunday against the 49ers. It's just those guys, those athletes that can do that, and they know the situations. And that's where 49ers are where they're sitting at. So with that Seahawks defense, it's just that one play – that made a difference, and then all timeouts were gone, and then you could get in that formation and just chill out and get ready for next week's game.
You mentioned the 49ers, Amon, and obviously it's a great team top to bottom to have home field advantage, to be in a conference championship game, to have the best record. You got to be balanced, but I think most people agree the strength of 49ers is that defensive line, and they go about seven deep. It's probably one of the deepest defensive lines I've ever seen. Take us inside the mind of you as the player, and now Matt LaFleur as the coach slash offensive coordinator. How do you attack that defensive line? Do you just say strength on strength and say, hey, our offensive line's been pretty good this year, we got to assert our will and square off with them and run Aaron Jones and show them who's boss? Or do you say, dude, that's crazy, that's like attacking somebody head on, we got to, you know, misdirection, we got to make it more about getting Aaron Rodgers the ball out. Like, how do you combat the strength of San Francisco, which I think most people think is that D-line?
I mean, one way is to combat it, you know, a mano y mano, head-to-head. You know, they have a defense that has allowed 193 yards passing, but only 21 rushing for the year. That's their average. That's what they've given up per game.
I mean, what they did to Dalvin Cook last week was ridiculous.
Exactly. They're stingy on defense. They have big guys. They got DeForest Buckner. They got Richard Sherman on the outside, along with Nick Bosa and DeForest in the middle.
Bosa's a beast.
And you got them guys. I mean, we watched them. We have plenty of games to watch Bosa at Ohio State. We know what he can do. And being the first-round pick, no surprise there. And so him coming in as an addition, rookie year, and be able to really, I say, get himself used to that defense. Obviously, it must have been it's a defense that he knows very well. Or the defense coordinator just said, you know what, just go. Go get to the quarterback. Talk with DeForest how y'all going to do this. And that's what they're doing, along with the linebacking crew. And then the back end just has to really cover their guys. But 9 times out of 10, it's a sack. You know, they had five sacks last game. So it's something there where that defense is going to come in. It's not going to be easy. So I say head-to-head matchup. You could try to impound it, but remember, do not forget the pass. You got Aaron Rodgers doing his thing. Long as Aaron Jones is effective enough with the pass or with the run, you know, running the ball, doing things where he's now have to get the big 100 yards. As long as you get that ball in the end zone, get the ball into the end zone, then that's where.
Who was the best D-line you ever played against, and how did you combat it?
Well, I would say between Tampa Bay and Bears teams, that was really good. You just run and get what you can get. Run hard. If you can get a big hit and kind of mess with guys' mind, where I say get them business decisions going, where you run one guy open and then juke him the next time and then run him over again, then you can start finding a crease. But then, really, if you're not getting a whole lot of places, anything, for one, hold on to the ball. And then number two, find a little, I say, soft patches in the offensive line, because sometimes the way the D-line sets up, there's gaps in there. And then them gaps could get you an extra 2 to 3 yards. But outside of that, do your job. If you're not running the ball, then find something, you know, catch the ball out the backfield on a screen pass or running a route. Pick up the blitz. Don't let it frustrate you. Just continue to play the game. Eventually, you'll get your crack.
Now, Mon, I know Aaron Jones is built a little differently than you. I mean,
oh, yeah.
But Aaron Jones, what do you think? First play, Rodgers.
Man, look at that, Ebo. Who's built like that?
Yeah, Rodgers hands it off. Aaron Jones just puts a big hit called the tone setter. Can you get in the guy's mind right away in a big game like that if you just what?
Yeah, you can. I mentioned
put that shoulder in him?
I believe it was last week or a couple weeks ago. I mentioned it happened in 2007 when New York Giants came here for that first Green Bay Packer playoff New York Giant matchup, where it was the first series, maybe the third play of the game here in Lambeau, where Brandon Jacobs took the ball. And it was probably like an 8-10-yard gain, and I mean, ran smack dead into Charles Woodson. didn't try to juke him, and that was one of them tone setters. And it was first quarter, first drive, you set that tone early. And Aaron Jones, regardless of his size, he can do that.
Yeah.
He could just pick out a linebacker, pick out a safety, and safety, or if he's even froggy, pick out one, DeForest Buckner or somebody. If he does that, DeForest Buckner or
now
Nick
we
Bosa,
got some business to talk about.
Nick Bosa, pull him down.
then they like, whoa. You know, if you lay one of them guys out for a player or two, that'll get in their head, though, because it's about, you know, sometimes when you get punched like that or hit like that, it's about ego, and you don't want to get your ego cracked early in a football game, in a four-quarter hard-hitting football game, too, and a game that means so much, because this game is the game we see the instant replays of, people crying and hosting their kids up in the air like Mustafa from Lion King, because they're going to the Super Bowl. You know, that's what type of game is going on here for both sides of the ball.
All right, we have a lot more to get to. If you have a question for Amon, hit us up on Facebook, Twitter at Zone Madison, 608-321-1670. We got to talk about the rematch, Amon, and we asked this question earlier in the week. Was it better that the Packers got their butts kicked the first time, or would you draw more confidence from a close game round one? I got to get your take on if you had played in that game, how you would respond to that this weekend. More of the Amon Green Show coming up.
This is the Amon Green Show, brought to you by Badger City Auto on the Wisconsin Sports Zone Radio Network.
So, yeah, I'm looking at these total offense, total defense. You know, Packers, 49ers are almost pretty much head-to-head. Offense, total offense, passing and rushing, 363 for Green Bay, 395 for 49ers. So offensively, matchup, you know, even there. But like I mentioned, the defense already, 21 yards allowed, average allowed for the whole season. I mean, that is special. And only giving up 193 yards, too. And we're looking at what they did to Aaron last game. He had 107 yards passing. Jamal Williams was the leading rusher with 45. Devontae Adams, leading receiver with 43. So job done there. So that's the question, you know, I bring that we're going we're all talking about. So can, you know, we already talked about the, you know, rematch or the revenge game. And being that they lost there instead of, you know, we're talking through the break there, or being a close game, which would you have it? I was like, if it's a close game and loss, either way, it's still a loss. But if, say, if it was a close game and they won it, you got to go into this territory thinking that we almost lost. And that mindset is we're going to get their best shot again. And it's not going to be easy. But since it was a blowout, now that's another whole – again, it was a loss, but it's like, all right, they pretty much beat us down. So we got to step up big. And they have all their weapons, offensively, defensively, playing. And so it's mano a mano in terms of play calling here. Defensively, from the defensive coordinator, Robert Saleh, Mike Pettine, Matt LaFleur, Kyle Shanahan. These guys know. These guys were buddies. Other than Mike Pettine, the three, Matt LaFleur, Kyle Shanahan, Robert Saleh. I met them when I became a Houston Texan. And the three of them were basically best friends. So it's like, I don't know, Joe and Ebo, where you guys are at, or here on Twitch, where if any guys got friends out there, just imagine coaching or playing a matchup against your best friend, and he knows your do's and don'ts, things you like to run, things you don't like
to run. How about your brother?
I mean, think about your brother, yeah, family member, exactly.
Saleh,
or your best, or your cousin
Shanahan
or something.
Shanahan and LaFleur's brother, were all roommates. Like, what a weird dynamic that I don't think a lot of people have talked about this week.
Right.
And it was LaFleur's brother who got blocked to interview with Green Bay.
He was like, no, that's not happening,
by Shanahan, who was Matt LaFleur's, Kyle Shanahan was Matt LaFleur's college roommate.
Like, exactly.
What a weird dynamic that is to this weekend.
It is. I mean, and that's the point of, it really boils down between the play calling and then the execution of the players. Because we saw what 49ers can do, you know, through the whole season, even with the head-to-head matchup. And it's like, all right, now can Packers send back that blow? Can they get it? Either way, big blowout or they win, the blow counts. If Green Bay could go into Santa Clara, Levi Stadium, and get this victory, to get, you know, don't let the crowd be a part of this game. But go in there and execute and get the ball moving. And you do that by just executing, running the ball, passing the ball, getting positive yardage, and not letting the defense create problems like getting sacks, turnovers, or fumbles. Hold on to the ball. Do what you're supposed to do as a pro. Then, yeah, you have better chances of going into a hostile environment and winning the game.
So what do you think, Amon, of visiting with Packers all-time leading rusher Amon Green? I remember you shared the story a couple weeks ago. That was that Monday night game with Baltimore, where you guys just got the brakes beat off you. Or was it Tennessee?
It was Baltimore. It was actually, that was 05 season. I didn't play in that game. But regardless, I didn't play in that game. We got our butts kicked.
So what's it like when you get, because, I mean, look, we all know it. We saw that game 6 weeks ago. They got utterly dominated in every phase. If you're on that roster, you're a coach, you're a player, you get into that locker room. I mean, do you just say, yeah, I get it? I mean, there's nothing to say in that. I mean, when you lose like you did the first time around, what's the mood like? And you just say, the mood. Just hit reset button on something like that, right?
It is, with the NFL season, that's the beauty of it. You just get it set, hit reset, forget about it, move to the next week. And that's what you have to do. Just have in the back of your mind, we might have to, I know in the back of their minds for sure, was we might have to face these guys again. Come playoff time, and now that time is here.
Well, how much are you thinking about that game when they got blown out?
It's
Baltimore material, or did you just forget about it?
It's learning from a mistake. It's not bulletin board material, but it's that material where you cue up the film, and you look at every play where it was turning
again.
Points of why we lost the game. What's that?
It's like, I got to watch this again.
Yeah,
like I've already seen this movie. This one stinks.
Yeah, but once you get in the league, you've been in the league a few years, Ebo, Joe. You learn how to watch them games you do not want to watch.
Okay, so then on the pod, because Ebo and I put this as a Twitter ball, man. Then do you look at that? Would you rather have get your ass kicked the first time. Like if Green Bay had lost 37-34 and Jimmy Garoppolo leads the 49ers down and they kick a walk-off field goal as time expired, do you say, man, we know we can beat these guys. We're going to lean on that. Or do you say, man, we got the brakes beat off us. That was an embarrassing loss. I cannot wait to play on Sunday to show the world that that was an aberration when they beat us like that. Like, which loss motivates you more?
I would say the one that's closer. I mean, I go back to my Little League days. I remember year one, I'm moving back from Los Angeles back to Omaha, Nebraska. I played Little League football one more year, right? And the best team in the league was on our game one. It was Kingswood. They had the Raiders colors, but they had a different design on the helmets, different uniform design. Anyway, best team in the Little League at that time in Omaha, Nebraska. And the last couple of years, the team I was on had not beat them at all. It wasn't even close. It was one of them games where the players that were my teammates now, they was like, man, these guys, these kids drive to the game. They got beers. They might have kids in the stands. You know, I'm like, time out. I say, if you're driving to the game, they cannot play in the game because we're 13 years old, 12 years old. So, like, just throw that out of your head. You know, I'm coming in from Los Angeles. I'm like, nah. I say, they can't be driving to the game. And they might have a beard. They might hit early puberty, yeah. Okay? But they're not driving to the game. Come on, guys. They put their pants on just like we do, one leg at a time. Let's go in and win this game. So we lost that game to them in triple overtime, 17-16. And in my head, like I said, the close game for me at that time, close game for me is I can't wait to play these dudes again. We were that close. It took triple overtime for them to win. So we went 11-0. Actually, we went 12-0 to face them again. And we did. We got to that championship game, Little League Championship, and bust them in the throat. We beat them 42-14. It wasn't even close.
Yeah,
14 was like garbage plays. I mean, I was playing.
You feel bad for him a little bit.
I didn't feel bad.
You let him in the end zone a couple times.
Nah, I didn't feel bad for him. They got lucky. It was like I had to throw. I was twisting. You know how you say you put your foot on the throat and then I was twisting.
Yeah.
I was middle linebacker and running the ball.
Put your heel on it and twist it.
Yeah. I was middle linebacker and running the ball. I was laying people out. I put two guys out the game just on straight up contact. Boom, explosion. So it was one of them things where it was right there. I could taste the victory, and then he snatched it away just with that one point in the time run out and stuff like that. So that's where Green Bay needs to be. Regardless, even though it was a blown out, you got to have that mindset is, all right, you know, for me, it'd be like, man, you humiliated me 37-8. Yeah, it was in your house. Now it's my turn to come in and just mess up your house. I'm gonna step off. I'm going to knock the couch down. I'm going to bust the TV off the TV stand. I'm going to put my name on the deed. In this thing, this is going to be Lambeau Field West.
To quote the great Stone Cold Steve Austin, you're going to stomp a mud hole in their ass and walk it dry.
Exactly.
Green. Yeah.
That's what we got to do.
We're going to queue up the Tupac, the whole plane ride there. Just have California love on a loop, baby.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
We will, speaking of that, we'll get to see how much love Amon has for this pick on Sunday. We'll get his game day pick and keys to victory for the NFC Championship game. More with the Packers' all-time leading rusher. We return.
Amon Green Show, brought to you by Badger City Auto on the Wisconsin Sports Zone Radio Network.
Yes, the good thing is there's only a few guys that are, I say, injured or whatever. Nobody's really out. It's all questionable. Danny Vitale, questionable. Billy Turner, questionable, undisclosed on their injuries. Preston Smith, he's questionable, but we know he's gone. He has an ankle. Kenny Clark, he had the back last week. We know it's not stopping him. He's back again. Alan Lazard now went out the game with an ankle, and we know it with ankles and wide receivers. That is definitely questionable, potentially doubtful, because in terms of running routes, exploding, stopping, going is huge for wide receivers. Geronimo Allison and Dexter Williams both questionable with illnesses. So that's where the Packers are in terms of their guys. And then Kawan Anderson on the other side of the ball, strained pec, linebacker for 49ers. Mark Nanzocha.
Say that one three times.
Man, that's a tongue twister right there. He's questionable. D Ford, hamstring, and George Kittle, ankle. But we know he's I think they coined the phrase, he's Grunt 2.0. He's not missing the game with
he's
an ankle.
A beast.
He's not missing the game with an ankle. He's going to be out there playing that game.
All right, so we'll get your pick in the last segment.
Yes.
Give us, you know, on both sides, you know, start, you know, since we're talking defense to end that last segment, you know, the keys to victory. What do the Packers have to do to combat that 49er defense? And then, you know, how does Green Bay slow down Jimmy GQ?
So dealing with a strong defense like that, where the defensive line is up front, strong, will penetrate in the first two steps of the ball, it is basically mix it up on them. Don't go away from what you're doing, because what we've seen throughout the season to where the Packers are now, they have established the run in all their games. You know, other than when in the losses where they had to fight behind or it got a little close between the Eagles game and the Chargers game. But get Aaron Jones, get Jamal Williams rolling in that pass game or in a run game, and then start doing your play action passes and your little quick plays, quick screens, quick slants. Get that defense where they're off, you know, they're off kilter. They're not balanced, where they know what's coming at them. And if they know, just execute. We know this is the best defense in football right now, or one of the best, but don't let that mystique slow you, you know, think about, or how I'm going to play, or how I'm going to make play calls. As a coach, as a player, you know what? When I get the ball, they're not superhuman. I'm going to run this thing as hard as I can. I'm going to throw that ball the way I need to throw and be accurate with it. Don't give them, because they're waiting for a mistake. Good teams, any team in NFL, is waiting for that one mistake to happen. If it's a tip pass, interception, fumble on a short yardage play, or a muff punt, or a punt catch. Any of those situations, don't allow those. Stay focused. Come out executing. And number one, just be knowing what you have to do from play by play.
And now go to the other side, because you know you looked at them on the offensive numbers are similar, Green Bay and Denver. That being said, I still think most people, Amon, think of Denver or San Francisco as a defensive team. Would you worry about that we get so focused on stopping the 49 or finding a way to score against the 49er defense, and you put all your effort there, and then like Jimmy Garoppolo has a sneaky big game? Or do you think if Green Bay can score against the 49er defense, the offensive part of this will take care of itself as far as slowing down the 49ers?
That's a possibility, but you can't, you know, you have to have a awareness of everything, you know, from coaching standpoint. You can't be so worried about that defense, like you just mentioned, and Mike Pennant can be like not really delving into a solid game plan. He has to go into a solid game plan because that offense does have some weaknesses. It's not like blaring weaknesses, but the one I say not strong point is Jimmy G. He's put up good stats because he's gotten the ball a lot. He's not been under a whole lot of pressure. The teams that did that was Seattle during the regular season and the Baltimore Ravens. You know, they had another loss there too. So those games, you watch those, look at those stats, not very high, only 100 or a little bit over 100 yards passing. But when you put pressure on QBs that are pocket passers, that's where you cause problems for that team overall. Then everything is off balance because now that quarterback can't get in their rhythm. Even if they're handing off the ball and Mozart or Burita or Coleman are doing their job picking up the rock. But if that pass game is not there in key situations when it's 3rd and 15, you have to convert. 3rd and 10 and you have to convert. That's when shutting down the pass game, or at least getting to the quarterback, frustrating him enough where you're in his face and he's on the ground a lot. Quarterbacks don't like that.
Now, Amon, you know, you were talking about setting the tone and have Aaron Jones, or how you would play. It was like hit someone early to really get you fired up. Can a good block from a running back to protect a quarterback in a pass situation really fires the team up too?
It could be huge, because say if that hit happens and then it's a completion, it's a first down or it's a touchdown. And everybody knows, you know, we don't see it as fans, and unless you played the game, but viewers don't see those little plays like that. You can see a fullback or a running back picking up the blitz, and if he doesn't get that blitz, quarterback's on his back, but he picks him up, then Aaron throws a first down or gets a big crucial, you know, just a play in general, touchdown, whatever, first down. That plays, or them plays, or I say, go without being, you know, seen.
I think it's one thing,
but
that
are huge.
People don't talk about a lot when it comes to running back, especially Aaron Jones is great at picking up blocks. Like, if he was laid on a solid block, Aaron Rodgers had great protection. I think that's a good way for them to beat the Niners, obviously. You know, buying time.
Yeah, it's that, because obviously that was the question when Aaron Jones first coming in and becoming a starter was, could he pick up the blitz? And I mentioned this last season, and I think 2 years ago, when I've done other interviews, where it wasn't the fact that he couldn't do it because of his size. It's all mental. Did he believe he could pick up the blitz? Walter Payton was 5'9", 5'10", 200 pounds, 205 maybe.
and stop linebackers dead in their tracks. Even though Aaron Jones, Walter Payton built completely different, but same weight, same size. But if you have the 1-2 to do it, and Joe, you're a coach, you have little kids that wrestle. If the kids that want to do it,
dude,
they get it done.
I say this all the time. Sports is 90% mental. If you, every kid I've ever coached, and when I played, it's, you know, you're 9 times out of 10, I can tell who's going to win the match before they even step on the mat.
And it doesn't matter about size.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter. And it's mental, you're right, Mom, because I just believed that you will understand this. I believe that I can show up on time. And I have not been late this entire football season. Can you
name
the last time I've been late? It was all mental, no. Amon. I just willed myself into getting up on time.
The Joe Miller late tracker is now collecting dust.
Yeah. That's a thing
He's
of the past.
Himself.
There you go.
He's
I like it, brother.
Himself.
Been on time.
Hey, visiting with Packers all-time leading roster, Amon Green here on the Amon Green Show. If you have a question for Amon, hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, at Zoe Madison. Two non-Packer questions I've been dying to get your take on this week.
Non-Packer.
Amon.
Uh-oh.
And then we'll get back into it. First one is the Luke Kuechly news, who retires yesterday. And this is, you know, because this is to me, as a guy at you who played it at the highest of levels, we think of the physicality, the gladiator, the warrior mentality, the sport. This guy, 7 years, first team all pro, rookie of the year, you know, dust off his bust at Canton the second he retires.
Right.
And he walks away from the game at the age of 28. He says it's not injury related, although I have to think. This is becoming a trend, right? Last year, it's Gronk walks away after winning a Super Bowl, the height of his popularity and success at 28. Andrew Luck stuns the world a week before the season start at age 27, walks away. Do you think that, you know, Ebo and I were debating earlier, does Aaron Rodgers play the life of his contract? That would take him to 40.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing superstar players retire in their 20s. I wonder, do you think as a guy who played the game, would it be different for you this time around? And do you think there will be... we'll see more of this, where these superstar players who have made generational wealth say, I don't need to do this anymore. I got my 10, 20 million in the bank. Why do I need to go out there and kill myself?
I think we will. I believe we will, because the players are becoming more aware, self-aware of what their worth, their value to themselves, not just to the team, because they know that, because they got, that's in the bank account. But they also know the value of their life, their, you know, their wife, their kids, their girlfriends, their families. And knowing that what we know now about head injuries, about CTE, and the effects of those, just of a few. And off air, you told me, Luke has over 10.
10 confirmed. Yeah.
In
which
7 years.
How many do you think he doesn't have?
And then what he had in college.
Yeah, right. In high school.
It all tallies up. And the effects, you can feel sooner than later. Everybody's different. The human body is different from person to person. So for him, he's not saying it is. It might be other things going on that he want to get reconnected to in life in general. But if it's anything to have to do with, you know, being that he was a thumper. To put it lightly in the NFL, he was a guy that was going to stop the run, played great against the pass.
But
at the end of the day, he took hits, he gave out hits, and to be a linebacker, that's part of your job. My job as a running back was part of that too, and I like doing it. And I'm pretty sure he liked doing it. I remember I met him a few years ago at a Nike camp for kids, and he knew me right away. He knew how we. Hey man, I shook his hand. I said, I love the way you play this game, because he plays it smart. He plays it hard, and the same thing he said to me. So to him to say that, for one, to do it is hats off of him, because it's not an easy task to say, you know, I'm putting the helmet in the locker forever, because this was something that. I mean, I started playing football when I was 6.
Yeah.
You know, and I retired when I didn't retire on my terms, but the game was over in terms of being able to be on the team. So I had to come to realization of that. And that coming to that realization is not an easy thing, but the biggest thing is we mentioned about this 49ers loss to Green Bay back early in the season. You flush it and you got to move on. But some guys don't flush real easy and they don't forget.
Nelson never flushes easy, but that's a whole topic.
So the good thing is, I say for Luke and his family, it's going to be great to see what he does next, because he's an outstanding guy. He's a hard worker. And for whatever he does next, I think he's going to do it at 100%.
And then my other big question, obviously, with the Hall of Fame coming up, and he finished his career while you started your career in Green Bay. We play with him every year together out at the Tulare now, and he's one of the nicest guys I've ever met. What's your take on? Do you think this is finally the year for Leroy Butler? You know, we were looking at it. You know, you've got Steve Atwater, you got John Lynch, you got Leroy Butler.
Yeah.
I don't know if you pick one of those, and if you're certainly not picking two. I'm biased. I think he was the best of the three, but those are three generational talents. Do you think this is finally the year that Leroy Butler gets the call from Canton?
I say I want it to be.
Right.
It's not really in our control. It's the AP. It's the press. It's not in Leroy's control. The only thing Leroy had control over was his career, and he had an outstanding career. He helped the team do great things here.
He invented the Lambo Leap.
Exactly. When you do that, to be honest, years ago, I thought he was already in.
He should be leaping into the Hall of Fame.
So he'll be, but I know Leroy. When that phone call does happen, oh man, we're going to see so many Lambo Leap t-shirts. He might write another book knowing Leroy to take advantage of the situation. But that's him. But he earned it. He should be there because guys that are certain guys of teams and through the organizations in pro sports, I'm talking about across all sports, certain guys that you just know, like, man, this guy should be there already. Baseball, football, basketball, hockey, it doesn't matter. You look at certain rosters, certain teams, you just know, okay, this guy should be there and needs to be there. And then you have good state. This is why. Lambo Leap, yeah,
the superficial. Hall of Fame just on that.
Superficial
really?
Stuff, but from his beauty of work as a football player.
Come on, how cool was Lambo Leaping, though?
Oh, Lambo Leaping was fun. I'll tell you that much right now. But
how much beer did you get dumped in your helmet when you did it?
A lot. I was just saying that, a lot. But to the point of, he had a lot of sacks at strong safety. Coming down in the box, he was a thumper. He didn't look like it. Wasn't built like it, but he knew he was very smart. Could have been could have been a defensive coordinator anywhere at the college football level, anywhere at the NFL level. Because he would tell me things that he could read me pre-snap. I remember my second year there in minicamp, I'm running a route. He read my route before I even ran the route, and he was in the position to get the pick. And just knowing that stuff. So he watched his film. He did his homework. He was in the position to help his team get to those Super Bowls when he was on the roster.
Hey, shout out to your notorious B.I.G. guy.
All day.
Biggie Smalls, did you see he got into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame yesterday?
Yes.
So.
No, I didn't see that. That's awesome.
And come on, you'll understand this. I'm starting a movement, a petition. Todd Rundgren did not get in. Of course, bang on the drum all day. Is that like hardwired into your brain? Bang on the drum all day?
Oh, yes.
Todd Rundgren didn't get in, Amon. What the hell?
Another year, Joe.
Who made Roll Out the Barrel? They need to be in the Hall of Fame too then.
Or Roll Out the Barrel. Oh,
who made the Bears still suck?
They need to be
where are the Weisenheimers? Why are they in the Rock and Roll?
About four guys in some bar.
Where's the cheesehead with attitude?
In some bar here around Wisconsin or Illinois.
Amon, I'm the pride of Wisconsin.
And I was cooking pot pies.
Oh, look at Amon's game day pick coming up next.
This is the Amon Green Show, brought to you by Badger City Auto on the Wisconsin Sports Zone Radio Network.
All right, tell me, Amon, if you're playing in the national championship game Monday night, you're the LSU starting running back, you've just won the national title, and Odell Beckham Jr. walks up to you with a gangster wad of hundreds. Are you taking that money?
Man,
what do you do, Amon?
This is
pop
terrible.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
You got a lot of hundreds in your face.
Like, hey, bro.
Pop quiz, hot shot. What do you do?
I don't take the money. You're in college football.
Amon, how about
you're
this?
You're on TV.
I take the money, but off camera.
I say, hey, meet me in the locker room.
Regardless if it was off camera, Joe Barrow admitted to it.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't care. I'm getting drafted. I'm at millions.
Well, he's about to go. But still, it's like, dude, no. That's like a no-fly. You don't.
Dude, if you're Odell Beckham Jr., why are you putting your alma mater in jeopardy?
Exactly. Right. Come on, man.
I mean, you don't have to out anybody, I mean, look, Nebraska, when you were there, that was the pinnacle. I'm sure there were great players that came through, alumni boosters. I mean, everyone always talks about the $100 handshakes. I mean,
no.
I've never seen it so,
never.
I mean, that I've never seen anything like that. He's on the field at the national championship game, ripping out hundos, handing it to players.
And LSU was like, well, that was fake money.
And this is why I knew the Cleveland Browns weren't going to do much. Because of egos like that.
Yeah.
And nobody straightened him out. And if he straightens out, he has a big temper tantrum.
Right.
Like he's five. Like, bro, this is football.
Yeah, he'll put a skirt on and then he'll go cry about it.
And so the year he had his little fight out with Josh Norman, I was like, if he wouldn't have survived in the early 2000s, 90s. DBs would have been all over him.
Oof.
And if you fighting, it have been DBs that say, you know what, game over. I'm coming to your locker room. I'm beating you down.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that he's, even though he's a phenomenal talent, like his talent is unbelievable, unexplainable. The things he does, he can do with, a, you know, catching a football, running routes, his speed and all that. But it's just his, the ego, the mindset, being a little sensitive. There's no place. There's no place in football for that, man. There's no place in team sports, basketball. If he was on a basketball court, it'd be just as bad.
Not only was he peeling off hundos, but then after that, he went to the locker room. Coach O was giving a speech to his team, and then Odell at the end had to butt in and interject while Coach O was trying to talk to his team.
He would have got booted out. I would have said security,
get him out,
security,
and take those 100 from him.
Get him out here. But talking about keys of victory here, we got. I always started off with win the turnover battle. Do that because giving a team like the 49ers any extra shots offensively to put points on the board. But it's not going to be easy because they have a pretty darn good defense. I don't know who. I know maybe DeForest Buckner is maybe a Pro Bowler. I don't know. And Richard Sherman, maybe. But they have potential Pro Bowl roster there on the defensive side of the ball. So win the turnover battle. Get the offense going right away. You have to. This is on the road. You don't want to wait at all, and no input. I say a late start is the second play. That's a late start of the offense getting going. Don't wait to the second quarter, second half, fourth quarter. Unless that team, that defense just comes out and just is punching you in the mouth every snap. Yes, it's not going to be easy. These guys want to go to Miami too. They want to go to the right coast. They want to go down to Clevelander and all that and hang out on South Beach. They want to do that too. So they're not going to make it easy to win for the Packers, but they got to come in and be humble about what they got to do. It's not you're going to be basically building a statue from stone, etching away little yardage here and there, getting that ball into the end zone.
So,
and then make it hard on the 49ers run game, because we know Jimmy G can be stopped. He could be slowed down, but if you stop that run game and able to
make him beat you,
then it's going to be hell for them. So do those few things. And just execute your side of the ball offensively, defensively, and special teams. Again, J.K. Scott had an awesome kicking day, 43.3 yards average. I'm going to always bring that up. Because I was a special teamer who got to eat my 2 years in Seattle that made the team. Rich Rodriguez, one hell of a coach. God rest his soul. He passed away a few years ago. But he was on me like I stole something from his grandma every day in practice. But he did it out of love and respect because he knew what type of athlete I am at that time. Or I'll say I was at that time.
Weren't you a punter too?
In high school, yeah. Yes.
Hey, did you see, speaking of that, I'm on Chad Johnson. Ocho Cinco's trying out for the XFL. And everyone's like, a 45-year-old wide receiver? He's trying out as the place kicker. Chad Johnson wants to be the kicker for the XFL.
He kicked for the Bengals.
Amon Green, punter in the XFL. Let's go.
You can just be a running back. You can just be a running back.
I'll punt.
Before we get your game day pick, what's the? I don't need your exact address. We don't need weirdos showing up. But do you have a nice guest room or guest house set up at the Casa de Green up in Green Bay?
Yes. Why? Who's coming?
Well, I'm assuming Nelson's going to. Nelson's going to invite himself in because I don't know if you guys saw this story. Bush Light, which is like Nelson's mother's milk, is giving a $1 rebate in Green Bay for every inch of snow the city of Green Bay gets between now and March. So Nelson was a huge Busch Light drinker. I'm just wondering if Nelly is going to say, Amon, can I stay at your house so I can rack up Busch Light rebate cards from now until March?
He'll bring Charlie with him.
Nelly, would you stay at Amon's house? And Amon, would you let Nelson stay there for a month racking up beer
rebates?
A drunken
hammer Nelson.
Yeah, we got everything. We got food. We got Xbox.
If I'm going to be there,
we got PlayStation.
If I'm going to be there for a complete month, Joe, I feel like Amon's going to need like a big garage or closet for me to stack all this Busch Light in.
And where are we going to put Mount Notice? He's going to the neighbors are going to complain.
Did you ever text Gilbert about Mount Notice?
Yeah, he texts back, what the hell?
We have to get him down here, Amon.
Oh, we got to work on that.
Joe, Gilbert Brown, and Nelson are going to go mano a mano. All right, so give it to me. Packers, a touchdown underdog. They obviously, Amon, were humiliated in round one. Have they learned their lesson? Do you see a Packer victory, or is San Francisco just too manly here on Sunday night?
Oh, man. This is a tough one, man, because of the margin of victory, the way 49ers have been up the snuff for every game, only losing three times as well, Ravens, Seahawks being two of those games. I would say right now it's going to be overtime.
Nope.
For the Packers. They got to go to overtime to beat these guys. And it's going to be a tight one. It's going to be like 20-17. Not going to be a high scoring game.
Packers.
Yeah. That's my man.
In OT, though. In OT.
If by some miracle they do win Sunday and in 2 weeks in the Super Bowl, we had this Twitter poll question. Do you think there's any way Aaron Rodgers does a John Elway rides off into the sunset? Or
no.
Is it 100% win or lose Sunday, he's coming back next year?
He's coming back. Nah. I mean, he's a little frustrated with the way the media's been on them, the way we've been on them. Hey, that's our job.
Yeah,
it's our God-given right as media to question everything. I remember when I was playing, I was like, man, y'all cold-blooded. y'all in my state. We're in the same city. Y'all talk like I'm the redhead stepchild over here. Woo.
Ooh-wee.
But that's the job of the media. And so he understands that. But from a playing standpoint, the way he does things and the way he's playing, he has a few more, definitely more than a few more years in him. Same with any quarterback that has the fire and has the talent at his level. So, he's not going anywhere.
All right, so you're here on Thursday. Where are the travels of the great Amon Green going to take you this weekend?
I had to head to New York City for some medical eval, so NFL stuff. I'm just taking care of my body. Being ahead of the game.
Yeah, we need you here for a long time,
exactly.
Amon.
Exactly. Keeping all this, everything you see here, functioning the right way.
We love AG 30. AG 30. We need him standing here for a long time.
You're going to be inducted in the Joan Eva Hall of Fame this summer.
First ballot Hall of Fame this summer.
I better get some pepperoni pizza and chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah, whatever you want is first ballot Joan Eva Hall of Famer. There he is. Follow him on Twitter, AG 30. Amon Green, Packers all-time leading rusher. Hopefully we'll be back next week talking about a Super Bowl edition of the Amon Green Show.
That would be nice.
Again, Amon Green 30. Give us the Twitch.
Twitch is Amon Green TV.
There he is.
Twitch.tv/AmonGreenTV.
And he's a
gamer.
We're going
to go Call of Duty together, bro.
Gotta get some COD.
You
gotta
send me your gamer tag.
He texted it to us,
bro. I don't have it. I look for it. I don't have it.
He texted us both. Group text.
I'm telling you. Oh, it's a group text?
Group text. He sent it to both of us.
Yeah, I think I did.
Old Reese wants to take a shot at him.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
Thank you, Amon.